the key here is that what we're going to talk about is climate data for irrigation strategies. And what I'm proposing, or the kind of paradigm I'm using, is something that I call a demand response approach. So we all know irrigation management's getting more and more important all the time. No surprise there. Ideally, we want to match water application in volume and time. Generally, we think about preventing water deficits through that appropriate application. In areas, as we were talking a little bit earlier about the southern high plains of Texas, we're now managing water deficits, not preventing them with our irrigation. And so the question was, how well will current irrigation management approaches meet the demands of our future? So the precipitating event was this. Back in the 1980s, Robert Lascano over here, when he was a young man, developed an ET-based irrigation management network on the southern high plains, and it was pretty innovative. It got better in the 90s. We got internet, wireless technology, all kinds of ways to deliver that information. And then in the late 2000s, they pulled the plug on it abruptly and shut it down. Now, it is back up, but at the time, the question was, why did they take this thing offline? It seemed like a good idea, right? We would think that a good irrigation scheduling tool would be very valuable. So in this study, we're investigating the extent to which the irrigation provided information to the irrigators was pertinent to their irrigation needs. And so we're doing it this way. We're saying that irrigation management can be seen as a demand-response pair. The demand is a value. It's measured or calculated. It's very precise. It's very accurate. And we can get that stick sharper all the time. Better and better point on that. The response, on the other hand, is an action. And that's influenced by human and engineering factors that tend to constrain the irrigation in terms of timing and amount. So the demand is how much water I need and when I need it. The response is what I can actually do or what I'm willing to do. Now, ideally, we'd like an irrigation management system to really nicely match demand and response. So the question is, as water availability and well capacity have declined, the demand side of our equations really hasn't changed. The response side, however, has become increasingly constrained. And perhaps the connection between demand and response has weakened to a point that ET data is no longer sufficiently actionable to be of value for a lot of irrigators. That's why they don't mess with it. So, study approach was this. We calculated 30 years of daily cotton ET volumes, that's our demand, for four locations on the southern high plains of Texas over 110 days. So it's a bunch of data. Then we define deficit irrigation scenarios that reflect current irrigation practices. And then we calculate these demand response pairs, modeling them, and assess the fit between demand and responses under a variety of irrigation scenarios. So just who would find this information valuable and who would not? This is how we calculated the value. Steve Mogé, co-author, did all of this. You could go find this under his name. It's an Ogallala Agro Climate Tool. Wonderful device. Suffice it to say, for those four locations on that map, we calculated cotton ET values daily for 30 years on a daily basis. So we quickly found that when we took all four sites, that's the 30-year means of the four sites on top of each other, they were pretty close together. So we decided to focus on the Plainview, Texas site to reduce the amount of information we had to process. We also had, here's the irrigation scenarios that we used. We have what we called an unlimited variable response. That's basically like a pivot system that could apply any amount of water in any increment that you wanted. No, it's unlimited and it's completely variable. Limited variable response would be a system, let's say like a pivot or a drip system, that has the ability to apply water in any amount below some threshold value. So you got a 400 gallon per minute well capacity. You could apply any amount below that, but you're capped when you reach that. And the last one is a limited fixed response system in which we have basically the same scenario as the limited variable, except we're only going to apply the water in fixed increments. That's to say that I'm not going to run my pivot around and put down 0.133 inches. I'm either going to put down, you know, 2/10 or 3/10 or whatever. So it's a little more constrained. And onto those, we laid in a one-day demand, a one-day decision interval, and a five-day. One day would be a drip system, and five-day would be something like a pivot system. And so, very quickly, I'm just looking at what would happen if we took. I was taking the harshest year of the 30 years in Lubbock, Texas, there, Plainview, Texas, the harshest year and the weakest year, mildest year. And what we did was just said, how many of the irrigations would we have at these daily irrigation capacities? How many of those irrigations would the demand exactly equal the response, and the producer would have full control over his irrigation, what he was going to do in response to the demand? And what you can see there is, out of 110 irrigation period decisions that could be made, you see, at a very low well capacity, the irrigator would have had some control on one irrigation out of 110. And you have to get up to about 0.2 inches per day irrigation capacity, and you're still only being in control of 6 out of 10 decisions. And that 0.2 represents about 300 gallons a minute on about 125 acres. So it's a very limited system. Now, if you looked at the volume of the irrigations you had control over, those are very small as well. So what we found was, whether you're looking at the harshest year or the mildest year out of the 30, you didn't gain or lose a whole lot of flexibility. You were very limited in the harsh year. You were very limited in the mild year. So that led us to go ahead and do it on in terms of just the question of asking, would a 30-year mean give us as much irrigation control as using real-time daily numbers? And so that's what we're talking about, and so it is. Is it possible that as irrigation declines, a 30-year mean of daily ET would be sufficient for those irrigation decisions? So we ran these for that entire period of time. Here's how a 30-year mean falls out across the harshest year, the mildest year, and then two moderate years. So we're looking at the mean versus the harshest year, the mildest year, and the two middle years, just to see how much we gain. That's kind of an example of what the 30-year mean looks like. And 27 inches of ET in the harshest year, 22 in the mildest, a couple of years in the middle. So what we did was calculated these response volumes, matched them up to the demand volumes over three irrigation scenarios on 1 and 5 day irrigation intervals, and just said, how would the irrigator's response be impacted by the ET demand? And I'll look at this one. So here's a quick shot of a result. What we're looking there on the y-axis is the irrigation difference in inches between using a real-time daily ET value as opposed to irrigating on the basis of a 30-year mean ET value. One of these takes a weather station to measure. The other doesn't. The other I can pull off of a table. And the well capacity is going up, and that's a limited variable response. It's like a drip system on a one-day interval. And those are the well capacities there that would be feeding into that system on a one-day basis on about 125 acres. And what you can see in that, I believe, is that at well capacities probably between about 400 and 500, there is almost no difference in any of the 4 years to using that daily calculated ET value as opposed to just running your irrigation off of the 30-year mean. The significance of that number is in our region, probably 80% of our producers are functioning at well capacities below 375. So that stuff below 375 accounts for about 80% of our irrigators. And so on that system, really very little benefit to having real-time ET versus using the 30-year mean, simply because your system is constrained. Now, if we do that on a 5-day interval, this would represent a pivot system. And again, we changed the well capacities a little bit, and it has to do with how we calculated it. But again, the change, the difference between using the daily value and the 30-year mean daily is at 200 gallons per minute, it's insignificant. At 300, you begin to see a little bit. At 400, maybe it would be worth acting on it. And again, those are across the harshest year, the mildest year, and average year. So again, 5-day system, we're not picking up much flexibility or response difference based upon the real value. Limited fixed system, same thing. That is what it would do on a 1-day interval. Again, you can see there's kind of a break point at about 400 gallons per minute. At that value or below, you really don't gain anything or see any difference between running them off of real time or the 30-year mean. You go to the 5-day interval on that, you pick up, you're going to irrigate a little bit too much in the lowest demand year at 300, but a very similar picture. And so the idea is there is not a real good correspondence between the demand that we send the producer and the response that the irrigator gets to make. So when irrigation is below that 400 gallon per minute, the 30-year daily mean might be as good of an irrigation tool as daily real time. The 1 and 5 day intervals, they follow the same trends, and certainly using a 30-year mean would reduce the cost and complexity for limited water users, because you just have a table, a button. So a demand response analysis may prove useful as a tool for assessing changes in the utility of ET-based irrigation due to changes in the constraints on the irrigator. When over-irrigation is a problem, ET approaches are probably pretty good, no question there. Assessments of the value of improvements in demand calculations, because we're always doing this. We want a better crop coefficient. We want a better weather station. We want a finer resolution in our demand, which can be good in some instances. But you might also include an assessment of how that improved demand estimate is going to improve the outcomes for the irrigator. Are we giving people information that has no value to them because they can't capitalize on that improved information? When demand and response are not similarly scaled, the irrigator may not see value in the ET approach. If you get 100 irrigation signals and you have control of 5 of them that you can do anything to other than just press the button, pretty soon you don't start looking at the signals because you go, hey, tells me the same thing every day. I don't have enough water. Demand data maybe would do well to be disseminated on a scale that is aware of the constraints on the response of the system. So instead of putting out 1 ET value, maybe we need to look and line that ET value up with the intended response, the constraints on the system. And maybe by more carefully aligning those, we can improve the outcome for the producer. And that's it.